Father, we thank you so much for tonight, and we thank you for the opportunity to gather again to hear the word of God. I pray in Jesus' name that you will help us, that you will visit us and open our eyes to see wondrous things out of your law in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. And tonight, I want to share with you about one of the principles, very important principles. Pastor Manene, I miss you, you know. It's been a long time since I spoke to you. I haven't seen or spoken to him in a long time. All right. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Okay. So tonight I want to share with you about the Person X Oriented Church. Person X Oriented Church. Amen.
Amen.
That means a church that is oriented towards person X. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, who is person X? Oh, what do we mean by person X? Well, if you've done a little bit of algebra and mathematics, you would understand X as usually an unknown factor, isn't it? And you often have to solve for X, isn't it? Sometimes they add Y and Z. Yes, when they add Z, then the math has gone crazy. Okay, so usually it goes way out of control. Hallelujah. But in a church, also in a church, what do we mean by person X? Person X, just like in your algebra equation, is the person we don't know. Do you see? It's the person who is not known. So when we say that we want to be a person X-oriented church, then what we are saying is that we want to be a church that is oriented and postured towards the person who is not known in the church. Do you understand? So, by that definition, the opposite of a person X-oriented church would be more like a person K-oriented church. Because K in mathematics is what? It's constant, doesn't change. He will always come. You see, most of you who are here on Tuesday evening are person K's. Do you see what I'm saying? There's only one person X here tonight. There's only one person X here tonight, and that X has been solved. Do you see? So it's become K after tonight. And her name is KK. Okay. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, one of the reasons why churches do not grow is that the churches tend to lean more towards person K as opposed to leaning towards person X. Do you understand? In other words, we have our provisions, our fellowship, our availability, and everything is oriented towards person K. You know, when we come to church, we have a good service. When we close, most likely you're going to be fellowshipping with a person K, isn't it? If anything at all, if person X is fortunate, They're going to get someone, ask, what is your name? Who invited you? Did you enjoy the service? Do you see? Which person X is going to give three straight answers to? What is your name? Mary Jane. Who invited you? Sheila Mills. Did you enjoy the service? Yes. Person X, are you enjoying the service already? Yes, she is. You see the thing. So then it's finished. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, when you're building a church, your growth and your future depends more on how you treat person X. Do you understand? Perhaps more than how you treat person K. Do you see? Because person K often is established. Person K will come to church whether you call her or not. You see, Gloria, did I call you this week? Yeah? Did I call you last week? Did you come to church last week? And you are here this week. No phone calls needed. Do you understand? It's not to say that Gloria does not deserve attention or does not deserve to be visited. But what I'm saying is that you can see that Gloria is gone past the point where she needs that kind of motivation to attend a service. Hallelujah. It's always a problem when someone who should have crossed that line still is behind that line. Do you understand? When someone who should have reached a point where they don't need phone calls, they don't need promptings, they don't need urgings, and they don't need anybody to make them any special office for them to be in church. But you find often people who should be in a certain place, not quite there. You see, like one day when Paul was talking about some people in Hebrews chapter 5. Is the scripture still alive? Yeah. Hebrews chapter 5. And verse 12. Look at that scripture. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. He says that, hey, if you're looking for somebody to praise you. Yeah. Right. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Have you found Hebrews chapter 5? Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Do you understand? Yeah. Now, this is the disappointment of every pastor and anyone who's trying to bring up people. Do you see? That after you've brought them up for some time and after you've invested in them for a while, you expect that there will be a time. It says, for when for the time. You know, do you have a scripture that will not say for when for the time so that it's a little more regular in the language so you can understand? But I think you understand what he's saying. He says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. Do you see? For though by this time, that based on our interaction, based on the preachings you have heard, based on the exposure you've had, based on meetings, camp meetings you've attended, videos you've watched in the church, people who have visited you, encouragement that has been shared with you, you know, then it's supposed to yield a certain result which is related to time. Do you see? So it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you, and not to teach you any deep things, but the elementary principles, do you understand, of the oracles of God. That means the basic things, the rudiments of a successful Christian life still have to be taught to you. Do you understand? And you have come to need milk, not solid food. Do you see? Because it's like they have to be careful when they speak to you. You cannot handle solid things. You cannot handle especially the truth. Do you understand? And so we have to give you milky messages, milky conversations, you know, just smiling all the time. No rebukes, nothing harsh, nothing hard. Do you see? And it says, and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. Hallelujah. So anyway, I was just sharing this verse with you just so you see that there are people who should otherwise have advanced in their walk with God, but who end up staying in the same place. Do you see? So if we have to still urge someone like Gloria and encourage her to come to church, you get it, then we are actually falling into that. If we have to encourage someone like Sheila Mills or someone like Pastor Henry to come to church, can you imagine that we have to encourage Pastor Henry and tell him it's good for you? Do you understand? It's a problem. Hallelujah. Right. So I'm saying that people, everyone needs encouragement one way or the other. But there are times or there are people who should not have to be encouraged in certain things. You expect that they would know that this is good for them and they would make the choice to partake of it by themselves. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. However, when a church is postured towards person X, then the church is saying that our new people who come in are more important to us as a church that wants to grow. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Than just going round in circles around the old, same old people that God has given us. I think you understand that.
Yeah.
So that is why we're saying that instead of being a person K-oriented church, let us become a person X-oriented church. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let's become a church that is interested in new people. Do you see? A church that follows up on new people. A church that visits new people. Hallelujah. Who must visit new people? You who has been visited before, for when? For the time you ought to be teachers. Do you see what I'm saying? That means that after you have been taking the milk for some time, now it's time for you also to give out some milk. Do you see? So, visitation, calling people, you know, showing interest in the people, then we are becoming a person X-oriented church. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So, for example, I'm told that last Sunday you had a whole lot of new people in church. Now, if we are a person X-oriented church, this week we all will be very busy. Do you see what I'm saying? We all will be very, very busy. We're calling. We're trying to see if we can visit. I mean, let the people say, wow, one church that I attended. Do you see? One church that I attended. Everybody is calling me. Hallelujah. One day, somebody was trying to leave the church and, you know, another place. And then so many people called the person. And then the person said, ah, what is this? One church too that I'm trying to leave. Everybody's just calling me. You know, everybody's calling me. One church that I'm trying to leave. Hallelujah. But that is a testimony and it's a compliment. It is good. It must be that when you have any contact or anything to do with a church, you know, the people in the church are genuinely interested in you as a person. Not just as a number that increases their headcount. You see, that is an artificial interest. Amen. But if you understand really the value of a soul, and if you understand that everybody is precious to God, that people who come to church are people who are actually taking baby steps towards a relationship with God. It's like the person is trying to find God. Anybody who attempts to go to a church knows that they are heading towards God. It's a move towards God. Do you understand? The rest of it is whether the people you meet at the church will create an environment or have a net that is strong enough to retain you while you yourself struggle to hold on to that little interest that you have with in God and the things of God. Hallelujah. And all too often, the people are not. They are not interested in you beyond a little hello and hi, you know, where do you live type of thing. And then that's it. It dies. If you don't show up next Sunday, none of them is going to call you. None of them is going to find you. And surely none of them will miss you. You see what I'm saying? So when you have a situation like that, you realize that God does not give you more of such people. The reason is that you are not faithful with the little that he gives you. Hallelujah. When you read the Bible and the parable or the story of the talents, you realize that the increase comes by trading. You know, and trading is exchange, is activity that involves exchange. It's like interacting with the thing that God has given you is what causes that particular thing to increase around you. Hallelujah. Now, leaving that thing just to waste or just to, you know, dry out or to just disappear by itself is a sign that you're not so interested in such a thing. Do you understand? And God is very interested in people. You see, maybe we do not understand what it costs to redeem one person. It costs the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And even if there was only one person to save, the price would still be the same. Do you understand? Because if you need 2 teaspoons of Coke, or you need a whole can, you still have to buy a can. Isn't it? The price is the same whether you need just a little bit of it or you need all of it. You see, so Christ died for the whole world and he shed his precious blood. So everybody is very, very important to the Lord. Amen. Everyone is very, very important to the Lord. That is why he has given everybody an open invitation. He said, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever, anybody at all, it's an open invitation. Do you understand? But God will direct the sheep to places where there is a real, genuine interest in the people that are coming. Hallelujah. Not that the people want to be full and want to say that our church has grown. Do you understand? And there's a very fine line between that interest and the genuine interest in people, which is that once you're a church, you want to grow. You want to have people around. You want to feel like it's working. Do you understand? But that's different from a genuine interest in your heart, in the people. Do you see? That you are really interested in the people, and it really does bother you when you don't see people around. Do you see what I'm saying? It really does bother you to the point where it's a burden inside your heart. You feel it. You have a genuine interest in the people, I tell you. And when we have that interest in people, God is going to reward it. Do you understand? God is going to respond to that interest by sending people to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Because God is looking for people to look after his sheep and to look after his people. Do you understand? Because the Bible says God's people are scattered because there is no shepherd, isn't it? Yeah. The Bible says when he saw, let's read it, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. It says when he saw the multitudes, look at it, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. And verse 36. Verse 36. Healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. You see, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Then verse 36, is it coming? Wow. Is it there? No. Okay. Then it says, but seeing the people, he felt compassion for them. Do you see? Because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Do you see? Right. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Do you understand? In fact, in other words, there are so many people. But the people who have this feeling towards so many people are few. Are you getting the picture?
Yeah.
So he said, pray, therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Look, Jesus has great compassion for people who don't have a shepherd, which is another way of describing people who do not belong to a church. Do you understand? When a person does not belong to a church, when a person is not saved, he is like a sheep that doesn't have a shepherd. Do you understand? And he says that his feeling towards them is a feeling of compassion. He feels sorry for them. He feels pity for them. He wants to do something about it. That's how God feels about people. Do you understand? It's a shame that we are often so obsessed with our own issues. Do you see? And so consumed with our own problems and our own difficulties and our own challenges, which never end anyway. Do you understand? And they will never end because Jesus said that in this world you have tribulation. The challenges we have are a function of our existence in this world. They end when we leave the world. Hallelujah. Yeah, even when you die, you have final expenses. You see what I'm saying? Expenses don't leave you from the day you are born. I tell you, you would have thought that you have just come. They should consider that you just came. You know, you went to your mother took you to the hospital and you were born. You haven't done anything. You haven't contributed to anything. Just maybe a little oxygen you breathed. But when you leave the hospital, the bill you bring. Do you see? And then it continues. Then when you check out also and you say, I'm going, even that one, they say that they are final expenses. Here's a little bill just to say bye-bye to you. Do you understand? But we are often so consumed with our own issues. You know, our own issues relating to school, our own issues relating to work, our own issues relating to relationships, our own issues relating to visas, what we have, what we don't have, what we can change in the short term, what we can't change in the short term. Many of the things don't even change much. Do you understand? And even when they change, it's just this one has ended and this one has started. Is it not the case? That is the real life. Do you see? And so God's sheep mostly have been left uncared for. Do you understand? While all seek their own and not seek after the things of God. And that breaks the Lord's heart. Do you see? It breaks the Lord's heart. And the Lord is looking. So he says, so seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Hallelujah. So God is looking for people who will have a genuine feeling. God is looking for churches that will have a sincere and genuine interest in people. Do you understand? Because we all are designed to respond to genuine love. Hallelujah. No matter who we are, no matter where we're from, one thing we all respond very well to is love. When we all respond properly to people and to any place where we feel genuinely wanted, we feel that we matter in that place, we feel that the people have an interest in us beyond us coming to sit in their church for them to count us. Do you understand? And the interest is shown in what they do with us after church. The interest is shown in the calls we get, in the visits we get, in the effort to relate. Do you see what I'm saying? Because not everybody is so easy to relate with. But you can see it when people are making an effort to relate with you. Do you understand? And when people are difficult to relate with, they know. Do you understand? Yeah, sometimes they introduce themselves. For me, I'm very quiet. That's a way of saying that you don't easily relate with me. You see, or sometimes they announce to you, for me, I don't have many friends. Hey, what are they telling you? It means that you will not easily join them. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, but then people can see it. They can see the effort. They can see what people are prepared to do. Sometimes they even ask the question, what does this person want? More than once, I've heard people say that as somebody was trying to follow them up, and as someone kept calling, the question they asked was, what does this person want? It's like they cannot believe the interest in the person. They cannot believe that I'm just interested in you. So I want to come and visit you. And it's like, for what? What do you want? Do you understand? Do you have an ulterior motive? Is there some other reason why you're coming after me? I just came to your church. Why all this interest in me? Hallelujah. Amen. Are you getting what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. So I'm not talking about just dry phone calls. I'm not talking about, because all the phone calls and so on, they are just tools. You see, they are just expressions of what I'm talking about. Do you understand? But they are not the thing in themselves. They just sort of carry or convey what I'm talking about. They convey the message of love. They convey the message of interest. But they are not love and interest by themselves, because you are not the only one who calls them. Yeah. Do you understand? When United Airlines calls them, it's also a phone call. But there's no love in that phone call. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So it is that place that we need to come to as a church. What do you think? Hallelujah. Amen. And it involves going outside your circles. It involves relating with people who are not people you would normally relate with. Do you understand? The proof of that is that you don't have any such person among your circle of friends. Do you understand? God has blessed us to have all kinds of people. We have the most educated people in our church, and then we have people who don't have any education or anything like that at all. Do you understand? It's a wide range of people that God has blessed us with. And God wants us, He has given us all these people. Do you see? And God wants us to be able to relate with them. God wants us to be like a magnet. Do you understand? Like a magnet that attaches itself to you. I tell you. You see, I have some magnets that keep, I have a little something, you know. And I have some magnets that hold that something down. I tell you. And sometimes when I'm opening it, I have to be very careful, because the magnets are so strong. Do you see? They are so strong that as soon as they get the slightest chance, you see, they'll just escape from the box and go and attach themselves to the other one. And once they attach themselves, even separating them is a problem. Do you understand? Pulling them apart is a problem. You really have to try to pull them apart. Then when you pull them apart, how to arrange them back in the box is another problem. Because when you put it in the box, then it will jump into the other part of the box. Hallelujah. Amen. So God wants us to have an atmosphere that where we will be like magnets. Do you understand? That attaches itself to people that God brings to us. Can I have an amen? Amen? Do you think I'm saying the right thing? Oh, yeah. Do you understand? So, Sheila, we need to be interested and we need to be passionate. As a church, our thing must be new people. Amen. Amen. Our thing must be new people. If we decide or continue to operate in a way that sort of sidelines and eliminates certain people, do you see? That they are not our kind of people. We are not used to such people. We're going to have a very small church. See, like one day, Peter, he had been preaching to Jews for a long time. And then God wanted him to give a chance
to include some other people, just to open his circle a little bit so he can minister to other people who were not like his people. They were not from his country. They were not from his, you know. And when the Lord showed Peter that thing, he started to say that, you know that I don't touch unclean things. You see? And the Lord was trying to help him understand that this mind that you have, it's very limiting on your ministry. Do you understand? It is putting boundaries on your ministry, and it is restricting the size of your influence. The scope of your influence is very small because you have a certain mind that there are some people that you don't relate with. Do you understand? So the Lord had to work with him and break that thing down. The Lord had to remove that thing from him and tell him that don't call anybody unclean. Don't look down on anybody. Don't feel like you're better than some people. You understand? Don't use maybe your education or your background or your status in the land or any such thing as a separating element in your relationships with people. Do you understand? And that's a very strong message that God wanted to give to Peter. And as soon as Peter got it, his whole ministry changed. Hallelujah. And you see it in Acts chapter 10. Look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Have you found Acts chapter 10? Let me get you the exact verse. Acts, the book of Acts. Okay. Okay, Acts chapter 10 and verse 26. But Peter, verse 25 says, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Have you seen that verse? Fell down at his feet and worshipped him. That's verse 24. On the following day, he enters Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his friends, his relatives and close friends. Hallelujah. You see, so now here is one person that Peter is about to meet who has relatives and friends behind him. Do you understand? That he is willing to introduce to Peter if only Peter would embrace him. Do you understand? Because Peter did not have access to the relatives or the friends. But Peter had access to Cornelius, isn't it? Just like it is with most new people that the Lord brings to our church. It's just the person. But behind every person is relatives and friends. Do you understand? Behind every person is relatives and friends. But God gives you, first of all, access to the person. You see? And how you treat the person determines whether that person is going to open the back door so you have access to the chain of people that are connected to him called relatives and close friends. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says, when Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up saying, stand up. I too am just a man. Okay. Then the next verse, verse 27. It says that, and as he talked with him, he entered and found many people assembled. Isn't that what we are looking for? Yeah. How would you like it if one day you go and visit someone and the person has brought many friends and relatives
all of them waiting because they said, Magdalene is coming to visit us. Wow. Magdalene from the church that I attended last Sunday. Wow. You know, I was so blessed. I met this lady called Sister K. You know, and then Sister KK, she came and, you know, she talked with me and she promised that she was coming to see me this week. And so as you arrive there, you go there and the person has gathered not just himself, but himself, his friends, and his relatives. All of them are there. They are coming to listen to you. Wow. Do you see? So Peter was in that situation. Then look at what Peter is saying, verse 28. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. Do you understand? He says, you yourself know how unusual it is for someone of my status and background to relate with someone like you. Do you know? You yourselves know that we West Africans don't relate well with South Africans or East Africans. Or you yourselves know that we, Ewes from Ghana, we do not like so much to relate with Ashantis from Ghana or relate with Ghanas from Ghana. Are you getting what I'm saying? Or we Africans do not like to relate with African Americans, whatever it is. But Peter was telling them that you yourselves know how it is. You see the thing, that it's not new. You know how it is that our groups don't meet. We don't really fellowship. We don't interact with each other. He says, and yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. God has shown me. So may God show us that same thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Because as you can see, Peter is standing in front of a whole new group of people that he otherwise did not have access to. Do you see? These people, he had zero access to them, except that he has now believed that God has called some other people, and that when God brings you into contact with certain people, you should not look down on them or say they are unclean or say they don't have jobs or say they don't have your education or they don't come from your country or whatever it is. But rather, you should embrace such people and have a church that constantly thinks about such people, a church that is oriented towards such people and makes an intentional effort for such people to feel comfortable among us. Can I have an amen? Amen? Without feeling that they are strangers in our midst. Without feeling like we are putting up with them. Without feeling like we are just tolerating them. Without feeling like we are not exactly interested in them. But, well, they have come. So, we're just flowing as it is. Hallelujah. Amen. I think you understand my message tonight. Yeah. How many are becoming person X oriented? Hallelujah. So it's important. How do we make a person X person feel welcome? Or how does a person X oriented church actually behave? I'm going to give you a few points, and then next time when I'm preaching to you, I will continue from there. Amen. So number one, a person X church would make people feel that you really want them around. We make people feel that we really want them around. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Number two, we must appreciate the people around. Appreciate every visitor who comes. We must appreciate the people that God brings around. Okay? So, number one is that you make them feel that you really want them around. Hallelujah. That we are really and genuinely happy that they came. Hallelujah. That we're really enjoying, not just that fake smile that the pastor said, turn around and welcome one another. Yeah, it's good to see you. Then it just dries, you see, because the smile is so facial, it's not from the heart. Do you see? It's just an arrangement of muscles on your face, you see. But there is no real root. It's so short-lived. You see what I'm saying? Because it doesn't have any depth. Hallelujah. But when it has a depth, you are very, very happy. Do you understand? I mean, you can see it. Like sometimes when I go to the airport, like this last time when I arrived at the airport, I was waiting outside there, and I saw how people felt when they came to pick up their loved ones. Man, you see that some of them, they'll be very happy. They'll come, and then they'll leave the things there, and then they'll be embracing each other, and they forget that they have to pack the bags. You see, and it's almost like the person has forgotten that this person, you are bringing them home with you. You see the thing. It's almost like they feel like they are rather parting. No, but they are just so happy. I mean, so, so happy that they can't even wait. I mean, instead of just, if you would just get on with this, pack the things, put the person in, you have the person to yourself the whole day. But it's like, no, let's start talking right here. And let's start fellowshipping right here. It's an amazing sight, you know. And I was actually enjoying it. Because I kept watching car after car after car. As they come, they'll just get up and then they'll embrace each other. And then some, they want to start talking right there, you see, and start to follow. And you could see that when someone is happy to see you, it's a little different. Do you see? It's a little different when someone is happy to see you. That maybe they haven't seen you in a long time and suddenly you've flown in and they feel very, very happy. And that's what I'm talking about. Can I have an amen? It's that kind of interest that we must have in people. You must pray. You must pray. Perhaps it's because we don't pray to the Lord to give us new people, that when new people come, they are not an answer to our prayer anyway. You get it? You see, Jesus told them, pray ye the Lord of the harvest to bring you laborers. So if that was your prayer, when the laborers show up, you would know their value, isn't it? Because you're expecting it. That's one of the reasons why you shouldn't give people things sometimes when they are not asking for it. Because it means that their appreciation level for that thing is not high enough. Do you understand? It's not high enough. That's why they have not even asked for it. Because they don't see the need for it. But if they see the need and they ask for it, when you give it to them, they want to worship you. Do you understand? Because they have a certain high appreciation for the thing. And so I believe that if we will even begin to pray more, I mean, on Sunday morning when you're coming to church, you should be praying that, Lord, please give us some new people today. Amen. Do you understand? Touch some new hearts. Touch some new hearts. Starting from the weekend, Friday, you start to pray, give me someone I can bring to church. Give me someone I can invite to church. Do you understand? And when you come to church and you see the person you invited who said they would come and the person has come, or a person who said 3 weeks ago that they would come, that week they didn't come, the following week they didn't come, then the third week when you were not expecting them, you come to church and the person is there. You say, wow, the person has come. A certain excitement and happiness which is genuine inside your heart. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Then the second one is to appreciate the people. Hallelujah. The second one is to appreciate the people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And to be happy and to rejoice with them. Amen. You should, they must feel loved. They must feel wanted. They must feel cared for. They must feel that depth of interest in them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number three is to genuinely admire people and what they have. I'm trying to show you ways to make person X feel that you're interested in the person. So if person X is dressed nicely, you must admire it. But it has to be genuine. Do you understand? If you don't admire it, don't say it. Don't say that your dress is nice when it's not your type of dress. Do you understand? And you are under no obligation to say that. I'm giving you so many points, so you don't have to practice each one of them. Do you see what I'm saying? So you have other ways of showing that you are interested in person X. So don't lie and pretend to like their dress when you don't. You're wearing this orange dress and you don't like it. Then you are trying to say that, I like your orange t-shirt. Meanwhile, you think it's too bright. Hallelujah. Amen. Or their car. Do you see? Or something, if you go and visit them, maybe their house or something like that.
but they must feel. These are all elements that help to make someone feel that you are interested in them. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Right, number four, you show them that you respect them no matter who they are or what they have. Okay? You show them that you respect them no matter who they are or what they have. Amen.
Amen.
So we have some people among us sometimes who don't speak English, like Monique and other people. You know, we have to show them that we respect them, isn't it? And that we love them no matter who they are. What do you think?
Yeah.
A whole bunch of them who come from that shelter, you see, they must not be made to feel like they are any less, you know, or important just because they don't have a home or an apartment like you do. Do you see what I'm saying? But they must be made to feel that they are important. We like them. Hallelujah. We like them. We love them. We care for them. And they are important to us. Hallelujah. I hear Monique was very happy on Sunday when you guys had your birthday thing for her, which is very, very nice of you to have done that. Amen. So we need to have more of such things. What do you think? Because remember Cornelius' story. Everybody has friends and close relatives. Even the homeless ones. Do you understand? Yeah. You would think that she doesn't come from here. But in her own small way, she's able to convince five people to follow her to that church. Not this church. No, not this one. No, not this church. No. You see. This church. This one. Yeah. Yeah. Today we go to church. Hallelujah. So you see that we can let the people know that no matter what their situation is, we respect them. They don't have to have money to belong to us. What do you think? They don't have to own cars to be respected by us. They don't have to have jobs. They don't have to dress in any special way to belong to us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Then the last point for tonight. Be conscious of people who have inferiority complexes and treat them carefully. You know, be conscious of people who have inferiority complexes and treat them carefully. Hallelujah. So you have to be careful with people who already feel, either because of their education or because of maybe some problem they may have, you know, they already feel that you look down on them. Do you see what I'm saying? And be careful not to do things that make such people feel that way. Amen.
Amen.
Such people, when they offer you something, you must take it. Do you see what I'm saying? They offer you maybe a piece of cake or whatever. You just have to at least accept it, receive it from them, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's very, very important. So that they don't feel like you are looking down on them. Amen. They don't feel that way. It is a very important thing because people have what they have. Whatever they have is what they have. Do you see? But they also want to offer it and they want to be part of it. In fact, when you look in the Bible, you will see a certain verse where some people were very poor and broke. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. You see that these guys were very broke and very poor. And then they were making a contribution in the church to support the work of the evangelist. He says, "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given to the churches in Macedonia." In that, are you with me?
Yeah.
We're just about to close. Just follow this. He says, "In that, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality." Do you understand? So, on one hand, there was abundance of joy colliding with their deep poverty, do you see, made possible by the liberality. Are you getting what I'm saying? You just picture a bowl. The bowl
is the wealth of their liberality, then imagine that they are pouring deep poverty into it, and then abundance of joy is also being poured into it. So in the liberality is the bowl that was able to bring together deep poverty and abundance of joy, which often don't meet. Is it not true?
Yeah.
You don't often have deep poverty coexisting with abundance of joy. But liberality makes it possible. Do you understand? When they are allowed to give, then they can share in that. So here is the point I'm making. Look at the next one. It says in verse 3. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. See, you would have thought that everyone who doesn't have much wants to be able to keep what they have. But there are people who actually want the opportunity to share even the little that they have. Do you understand? And don't want to be excluded. They don't want to offer you something and you turn it down because you think they need it more than you.
Yeah.
Are you getting what I'm saying? They don't want that. He says that they begged us with much urging for the favor. They saw it as a favor. The favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So imagine if you turn these people down by saying that they are not wealthy or that they don't have much. What you are doing is that you are denying someone of something that they consider to be a favor. Do you understand? Yeah, and don't be surprised if they get offended by it and do not want to come around anymore. Can I have an amen? Are you getting what I'm saying? So it is very, very important that we do not let people feel that we look down on them. Say amen.
Amen.
Whatever they have, whatever they're offering us, their little something, whatever it is, we must share, we must all rejoice in it. Do you understand? And we must not say things that make them feel that maybe, we feel that there are some people who are higher than others. Do you see? Or that because they come from such and such a place, or they do not have such and such an education. You know, our church is often accused of being a church for educated people. You see, some people say that as for Lighthouse, you cannot attend it. You're not a doctor, you're not a lawyer, forget it. They don't want you. Magdalene, do you think that's the case? It's not the case. But some people feel that way. Do you understand? And I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe they came there and they felt everybody was speaking to the other in some nice high language. Do you understand? Yeah, and they were just wondering, hey, these people, can I join them? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So sometimes we need to tone down our things a little bit. What do you think? Yeah, we need to tone down our things. Amen. We need to tone down our things so nobody will feel that this is too high a place for them. This is the house of God and everybody is welcome. Amen.
Amen.
Well, stand to your feet. Next week, or next time, I'm going to continue sharing with you how to be a person X-oriented church, isn't it? So number one, I give you some points. Number one is what? Number one, what did I just give you? Number one, make people do what? That you really want them around. Number two, appreciate every visitor that God brings to us. Number three, genuinely admire people and what they have. You see, now when we say appreciating people, we have to remember when we ask visitors to stand up, do you see, we have to show them real welcome like today. Do you understand? Everybody come and welcome our visitor again. Oh, without harassing her, please. Hallelujah. Yeah. There must be a long line of people who are interested in you. Amen. And some who are prepared to even offer you a ride. How did you come to church? Do you understand? Can I drop you off or something? Do you see? Yeah, and that also touches people because it gives you more time with the person and you are able to know the person's house and the person doesn't disappear on the very first day. Amen. So that's number what? And then number three is what? That's genuinely number four. Show people you respect them no matter who they are or what they have. So you don't have to wear high heel shoes to earn my respect, isn't it? Your hair doesn't have to be fixed nicely to earn my respect. You don't have to be dressed in one of these nice fancy clothes to earn our respect. Amen. But so long as the Lord has brought you here, we like you and we want you. What do you think? Okay. Then number five is what? Be conscious of people who have inferiority complexes and treat them carefully. Can I have an amen? So if they serve you juice, don't refuse it. Amen. If they bring you juice, oh, if maybe if Gloria brought it, yeah, but this person was just bringing their juice, you know. Uh-huh. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Don't, you have to be careful with such things so that they will not feel that because it's coming from them, you don't want to accept it. Can I have an amen? Even the food, when we bring food to the church, some people eat certain foods and don't eat some other people's foods. You see? Yeah, it's all person X-oriented church problems. Hallelujah. So we have to learn. Even if you don't like it, maybe take a little. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, a little bit. There's a way of eating a little bit of something just to yeah. Hallelujah. Because one of the things I learned recently is that when you make a party and people don't come, it can be very painful. It's my latest lesson. Do you understand? Yeah, when you make a party, I tell you, someone to eat your food is a great blessing. So if the people come and eat it, you must thank them for eating your food. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you to pray that God will turn us all into people, person X, church people. Amen. Let's pray. Everybody just pray and say, Lord, please give me a genuine interest in people. Give me a genuine interest in people. Give me a genuine interest in people in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I wanna be more like you, Jesus. Yes, I wanna be more like you, Jesus. I wanna be a you work through.
you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Oh, take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Sing it one more time.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Oh, oh, oh.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Touch my heart.
Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through me, Lord.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Father, we pray, oh God, that if you can use anything, please use us. We pray that you will touch our hearts and give us the Jesus kind of interest in people. The interest that sees people in the crowd and yet sees an individual in the name of Jesus. That no person is a crowd with Jesus. We pray that we will be a church that is oriented towards the new people that you bring to us. Because our growth and our increase depends on the new person. We pray, Lord, that you help us to look after them, to show them your love. Help us, O God, to be to them what you would be to them in the name of Jesus. May no one feel neglected. May no one feel unwanted. May no one feel despised in our congregation in the name of Jesus. But let everyone feel the love of God. Let everyone feel appreciated. Let everyone feel deeply wanted in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that blessing that's coming upon us. That this church is changing in the name of Jesus. This church is changing. A new spirit and a new atmosphere is coming into this church in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Hallelujah.